Any abstention? Motion carries.
All right, thank you all very much, both parties. And the next item will be Bevins Oyster Company, item 6. And I'll give that to Mr. Garrett.
Members of the commission, you will probably find this case to be very similar to the Cowart Seafood case, since both Bevins Oyster Company and Cowart Seafood have worked together to put together these two proposals. I also would like to point out that our staff evaluation has changed because of some late information, so what you had received in your packets last week is slightly different than what I will present here today. Bevins Oyster Company has requests authorization to deploy 4 foot wide by 6 foot long by 12 inch high individually buoyed oyster aquaculture cages on privately leased or subleased oyster grounds occupying 4 separate sites in the Ocamico River and Wilkins Creek, totaling approximately 20 acres of suitable hard bottom. The cages will be deployed in water depths ranging from approximately 1.5 to 6.5 feet mean low water, and at a maximum cage planing density of 250 cages per acre. 2 of the 4 separate sites are located within Westmoreland County and include approximately 4 acres in the Ocamico River, approximately 1,000 feet west of the mouth of Parker's Creek, and 8 acres in the Ocamico River, approximately 1,300 feet southwest of the mouth of Parker's Creek. The remaining 2 sites are located within Northumberland County and include approximately 4 acres within the Ocamico River, approximately 2,300 feet southeast of Horn Point, and 4 acres in Wilkins Creek, approximately 800 feet south of Monday Point. Kathy, if I could have the lights, please. This map here will show you the locations. This is the Ocamico River and the county line that splits Westmoreland north here from Northumberland to the south. These are the approximate locations of the 4 sites being proposed. You see the 2 here in Westmoreland County, 1 that sits just below or right on the county line in Northumberland, and the other here is actually in Wilkins Creek on a piece of subleased ground. This navigation chart shows the 4 sites here in red and outlines the leased boundaries here in blue for those areas where they are going to be leased. Again, the site down here is subleased and by Bevins Oyster Company, and that is in Wilkins Creek there, and is the lease is actually in the name of Monday Point and Watt Point Farms Incorporated. And here on the aerial photograph, again, the 4 sites. This is the application drawing submitted showing the 4 sites again. And the proposed cages will be stocked with oyster seed and placed within the defined sites at a density of 250 cages per acre. Each cage is proposed to be marked with a regulation size buoy of green or blue color. And will be identified as belonging to Bevins Oyster Company. The applicant has stated that they expect maintenance, including cage cleaning, crab removal, oyster splitting, etc., will occur approximately every 3 to 5 weeks during the spring, summer, and fall, with less routine maintenance scheduled during the winter season. The applicant expects a grow-out time of 12 to 18 months from seed to harvest size. Following completion of the grow-out period, the cages will be retrieved and brought back to the oyster house for processing. The emptied cages will then be cleaned and either stored on the upland or be restocked and redeployed immediately. The drawing here shows, again, the the site in Wilkins Creek. This is their application drawing. This is the proposed deployment site is here in yellow, and the red outlines the leased ground, which is subleased by Bevins. These two sites here are located within one leased area outlined in red. Again, this is the site in Westmoreland County. This is Parker's Creek here, so they're just west or southwest of Parker's Creek. And then the other site here, off Horn Point, it actually lies in Northumberland County, but likely lies roughly on the line between the two counties, and it's a four-acre site down here at the bottom of this lease shown in red. Again, the cage design, similar drawings as you saw with Coward Seafood's application. The 12-inch high, 6 foot by 4 foot. And this is a drawing provided by the applicant that does show an example of the configuration they may be placing the cages in. This example does show clusters of 20 cages in a 30 foot by 45 foot area. And they will use a barge with a crane that will be able to move through these fairways up and down, left and right, to be able to extract those cages. And again, another drawing here just showing a profile with the water depths of 1.5 to 6.5 feet at mean low water, and that would go up, what they're saying here, 3 to 8 feet at mean high water. The applicant proposed cages by themselves would qualify for deployment pursuant to the Commission's regulation pertaining to on-bottom shellfish aquaculture activities, primarily because the cages extend no higher than 12 inches from the bottom substrate. Again, however, because they have asked to place the buoys on, an individual permit is required. Similar to Cowart Seafood, Bevins Oyster Company has also expressed an interest in utilizing proposed cages for not just for the native oyster aquaculture, but also to stock and grow non-native area Kinsis oysters in conjunction with ongoing projects of the Virginia Seafood Council. Each of the four sites shown here are not located with any currently condemned shellfish growing areas as defined by the State Health Department. The Virginia Institute of Marine Science shoreline permit application report dated April 10, 2006 states that three of the four sites currently proposed may impact submerged aquatic vegetation, which had been previously observed within portions of each of these sites during the most recent 2004 survey. And let me just zoom in here and show you here in red where the four sites are located. The three sites that they mention are these two here in Westmoreland and the one down here in Wilkins Creek. The sites where impacts to SAB beds may occur include both sites in Westmoreland County, as I just mentioned, as well as the one in Wilkins Creek. There's not appear to be any evidence that any SAV beds within the proposed site off Horn Point, which again is this point here. BIMS recommends the aquaculture sites be located outside of SAV beds, as shown in the 2004 survey maps. The BIMS report also indicates that there will be an additional temporary impact due to the suspension of bottom sediment resulting from cage deployment and recovery. In addition to these comments provided by BIMS, staff has also received an individual letter of support dated April 18, 2006, from Dr. Roger Mann, Director of Research and Advisory Services at BIMS. Staff has also received late comments last Friday from Dr. Robert J. Orth, Professor of Marine Science at BIMS, which indicates that the SAV beds observed adjacent to and possibly within the proposed deployment sites generally consist of widgeon grass, which grows in water depths ranging between 1 to 2 feet mean low water. Dr. Orth suggests that areas greater than two to three feet in depth would not typically support this type of SAV and would be suitable for the placement of the proposed cages. Staff did receive comments from the Department of Game and Inland Fisheries on April 7, 2006, and they did not anticipate any significant adverse impacts upon any threatened or endangered resources within their jurisdiction. Staff has also not received any other concerns or objections from other state agencies. In your packets, you will find a resolution from the Westmoreland County Board of Supervisors adopted April 10th, 2006, along with a letter from Mr. Norm Rasavi, County Administrator of Westmoreland County, dated April 11th, 2006, in which they have offered their full support of Bevin's Oyster Company's proposed project. In addition, the Chesapeake Bay Foundation, in a letter dated April 11th, 2006, has offered its support. Staff has not received any other comments or objections from any adjacent property owners or members of the general public. I'll move into our summary and recommendation. As currently proposed, the cages by themselves at a density of 250 cages per acre will occupy approximately 14% of the total deployment area requested by the applicant. However, the applicant has stated that the cages will most likely be deployed in clusters separated by fairways to allow for their access to the cages at times of deployment, maintenance, and retrieval. These clusters will represent a more densely packed arrangement occupying a much larger percentage of the total area within smaller portions of the requested deployment sites. An example provided by the applicant in their application show as many as 20 cages within an approximate 30 by 40 foot area, representing coverage of approximately 33% of the bottom within each cluster. At the proposed cage planting density, and particularly with the placement of the cages within clusters, staff believes that the placement of the individually buoyed cages at the four proposed sites will preclude most, if not all, of the areas access of these areas by the public and other commercial fisheries or user groups. Based upon the VIMS comments in Section 28.2-1205A6 of the code, staff cannot support the deployment of cages within beds of SAV. When considering Dr. Orr's comments, staff believes that the deployment of the cages, if the deployment of the cages was limited to areas with water depths greater than 2 feet at mean low water, potential impacts to SAV beds will be minimized. Accordingly, staff recommends approval of the applicant's request with the following conditions. The corners of the deployment site shall be surveyed, and the dimensions of the area and area of the site shall not exceed the dimensions and area identified in this staff evaluation. The survey shall also exclude all areas with water depths less than 2 feet at mean low water to eliminate potential impacts to SAV beds. The survey of the site shall become part of the VMRC permit. No cages may be deployed within beds of SAV. The permit and authorization to retain the structure shall be valid for a period of 5 years. After 5 years, the permittee may request the commission reevaluate the project and authorize the activity for an additional period of time. The permittee shall be required to submit annual reports of production. Should a water column leasing procedure be implemented, the project shall be reevaluated and, if deemed acceptable, converted to a lease upon termination of the initial 5-year permit. The public shall not be excluded from any areas not physically occupied by the authorized structures. The permittee shall properly maintain all structures and markers and shall remove all structures upon falling into a state of disrepair or upon a cessation of their uses as aquaculture structures. The structures must be marked and located in accordance with all applicable U.S. Coast Guard requirements. And should the applicant wish to deploy Ariakensis oysters, the applicant must submit an emergency plan for the removal of the animals in the event of an impending natural disaster, which would result in their widespread dispersal. Staff further recommends an annual royalty for the occupation of the water column and encroachment over state-owned subaqueous bottom at a rate of half a cent per square foot, based upon the total area of the approved sites as reflected by the required survey, and not the physical dimensions occupied by the individual cages. And just to provide the commission with an idea, if the applicant's estimate of 20 total acres is correct, at a half cent per square foot, that would equate to $4,356 per year. In addition, because of problems encountered in the placement of our newspaper advertisement, if the commission approves all or portions of the applicant's request, Staff would further recommend that your approval be contingent upon the successful completion of the public comment period, which will end April 27th, 2006. That's 2 days from today. Without receipt of any objections from adjacent property owners, the general public, or other concerned entities. And with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions. Again, I believe that the Evans Oyster Company is represented, and we'll answer any questions you have as well.
Any questions from staff or commission? Thank you. Is the applicant present?
Yes, sir.
You're already on the oath. So.
That's right. A.J. Erskine, representing Bevan's Oyster Company. The premise behind this proposal is similar to Coward Seafood, so I won't get into that again. One thing I just did want to clear up is that, the SAV issue, I think, has been addressed through staff's recommendation, and we're happy to comply with deployment of these cages and water depths greater than 2 to 3 feet at mean low water, so we don't impact SAV beds. Ben McGinnis brought up the issue of, I believe it was blue and green colored buoys. We haven't had objections from adjacent property landowners, and I'm not quite sure if that was one of the recommendations that we were required to go with a blue or a green buoy, but we'd like to have the option to go with other colors as suitable.
Any questions, Commission?
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir, Mr. Robbins.
It appears that the primary concerns with this application were related to SAV. Are you comfortable with staff's recommendation as presented?
Yeah, I think we feel comfortable with that. Really, the reason we wanted to have some of those other sites, as you can see from the photo, the only one that does not potentially interact with SAV beds is the Horn Point, which is the one out in the middle of the Comical River, pretty much, and that's a very exposed site. The other one, especially the one in the lower left-hand corner off Mundy Point there, is a rather protected site. So we do have pending storms that we'd like to have a few sites that might provide some protection.
It's my understanding that the way your cages are constructed, you've only got 4 inches of clearance on the bottom, and you need water flow for that cage to be effective. So
right,
even if that weren't a limiting factor, or even if that weren't a constraint of your permit, you wouldn't voluntarily or knowingly place these cages on an SAV bed that would inhibit your flow of water, would you?
Right. It doesn't benefit us to deploy these on any kind of muddy or soft substrate where SAV would colonize. We don't want the cage to sink. We can't afford to have it sink, being 4 inches from the bottom. We need to be on hard-shelled oyster ground. These grounds that we propose actually are grounds that Bevan's Oyster Company have typically harvested. In fact, a month ago, we're catching oysters and planting shells back on the this oyster ground. So we don't want to impact SAV, and of course, it doesn't benefit us to put them on SAV, like you said, for the water flow issues and also the settlement of these cages into the bottom.
Any more questions? Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Yes, sir.
What happens if we, in the next 2 or 3 days, get a complaint? Do we have to do this all over again?
I would assume we bring it back. Is this
staff would be asking that it would be brought back before the commission next month. At this point, we have not received anything, so we have been asked by Bevan's to bring this before you today, so we have done so, but we have not received any written or telephone comments to our office.
Thank you.
Chairman, I see you recognize I have an objection to this.
I'm getting to that right now. All right, now we're ready for anybody pro or con on this proposal. You may go first, sir. Did you raise your right hand? You swear to tell the whole truth, nothing but the truth, so help you God?
I do.
State your name.
My name's Jack White. I own and operate New Point Oyster Company. My objection is not to Bevan's plan, but to some of the restrictions or conditions that are being proposed here. I'd like the opportunity to discuss. My major objection is to the compensation of $217 per acre for these operations arraying oysters in the water. Actually, the Commonwealth should be paying these men. There have been a fair amount of research done in this area mainly by Dr. Roger Newell of the University of Maryland Eastern Shore. We have at least a strong belief that probably 100,000 tons of nitrogen are removed by the water by each million oysters arrayed. Given the nutrient abundance in the Chesapeake Bay, this is a good thing. We actually believe that oyster aquaculture operations should be included in the state's nutrient credit trading program, which is in its infancy, and they're promulgating rules right now. In fact, the United States Patent Office has issued a United States patent for the use of molluscan shellfish to control nutrient levels in the water. Now, I think that that's like issuing a patent for using plants to control oxygen levels in the atmosphere. However, the United States government has seen fit to issue such a patent. A couple of things that have arisen here, and one of the biggest problems that I see regarding aquaculture, and I just don't want to ingrain it in the rules or the decisions of this commission, is the equipment. You raised the concern about the 4-inch clearance. Right now, under current law, the profile of these oyster aquaculture cages is 1 foot. Now, that's, in my mind, defies logic. You allow a 2-foot-high relay vessel. Actually, you have no height limit on a relay cage other than it not infringe upon navigable waters. Mr. Cowart commented that because of the 1 foot profile, he has been cut off to the vast majority of bottom because he has to find a hard bottom because he doesn't have enough clearance for this vessel to sink into the mud. It would be very helpful if this equipment requirement were looked into and modified to allow us to innovate and design equipment that can work. The profile restriction is just too low. We're worried about predators, and Mr. Garrison, you were concerned about cow-nose rays, and if, in fact, we could reduce the amount of predation and increase the survival rate, perhaps using bottom would be a workable alternative. In my view, I've cultured oysters since 1993, and one of the glaring rules that I've learned by trial and error is that you want to use some form of modular construction, some form of containing the oysters. And that really relates to production economies, the ability to handle these, remove them, not spill them, get them in and out of the water without tonguing or letting them be lost. In addition, there are a lot more predators than just cow-nose rays. You have snail drills, you have apparently conchs. Crabs are probably the worst predator, and everything that I've ever designed in my equipment, it's a race between the size of the oyster and the size of the crab. The smaller the oyster, you put him in a little cage, and that crab can't get in there. Otherwise, he's going to eat him, and he can do a number on baby crab, baby oysters very quickly. So these are the cage is really a necessary and useful and economic tool, and it should be supported. Finally, I believe Ms. Floyd, in earnest good faith, has provided comments. However, I believe some of her comments had to do with fish aquaculture, which is an onshore activity. It requires feeding or the introduction of something into the water, and obviously the waste that's generated. There are serious issues that are involved with fish aquaculture that do not involve shellfish aquaculture. Shellfish are a filter feeder. We do not add anything to the water. We use no chemicals to control production of any of these things. And so there is no chemical introduction of any kind into the water. Mr. Cowart always very artfully commented on the equipment design. Most of it's a relatively sterile input into the water. So I thank you for your consideration and your time, and I hope I've clarified a few issues.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Anybody else pro or con on this issue? Anybody pro or con on this issue? Hearing none? We go before the commission. What's the pleasure of the commission? Mr. Robbins.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I move to approve as presented and recommended by staff, together with their updated and modified recommendation that the area that the site shall exclude those areas with water depths less than 2 feet at mean low water in order to avoid impacts to SAV.
Is there a second this motion?
Second.
Second, Mr. Schick. Any discussion of the motion? Go for a vote. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed, no. Any abstentions? Motion's carried. Now we go back to back one, number six.